soil, that good fruit would grow and there'd be a great harvest. And so, Father, we ask that you'd help us by the Spirit to hear your word to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do take your seats. I think sparks and sunbeams are already gone. Thank you, Pete, for leading worship without the... And I'm very sorry that your laptop video card is broken. But if you're a visitor, we usually do give words. And I'm not going to go with Sean McCallion's suggestion that we bring hymn books back in. Because although they didn't ever break, you know, they did get lost and that sort of thing. So anyway, Angela, come up. We want to welcome Angela, so let's give her a clap. Bless you. Have you got? Do you want the headset microphone? You'd prefer this one.
If
you're happy, to use that one.
Wow, what a full hall! This is amazing. And what a privilege to come back again. 9 years, just about every year, we've been back here and have had the privilege of seeing the change and getting to know people better and seeing old faces, getting older. My compliment for the day. But so many new faces as well. And what I'm reminded of is that I think it must have been January last year. I heard that Rick brought a word to the church, which was the year of Jubilee for this church. Do you remember that? And, you know, coming here on Friday, meeting with the elders, sitting around the table having lunch together, and then going to Borden on Friday evening, and then Saturday morning... doing the seminar and being around on Saturday and then coming in here today, let me tell you, you are in the year of Jubilee. And it's not about it's 1 year long. This lasts. And also, it's not about, like Elizabeth said, she didn't have a very good year last year. And for some, it's been a massive, massive battle. But the feel in the atmosphere is God's glory on you. Something's happening and changing, and God is getting you ready for whatever is coming this year. But you are actually in the year of Jubilee, and you need to plug in. As that word said, plug into the glory, because the glory is all around here. And I think being prophetic, one comes into a place and you kind of, it might sound strange, but I think you would understand, you feel the atmosphere, you feel what's in the air. And in the air, in this place, in Farnham and around, what's a GU? 35. And then here this morning, the atmosphere is quite charged with the presence of God. And you see, when he comes like this in power, it is for us. It's wonderful. It's for us. But actually, it's for more than us. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he comes in power and charges us up again and for a purpose. And the purpose is the world. Because in this nation, things are changing. And it's different. You agree? You're actually allowed to speak to me. I'm not your regular preacher kind. I'm more chat, what I feel God is doing. And so you're allowed to actually respond and shake your heads and grin and speak to me or frown or just don't fall asleep. But something's happening in this nation. And if we think about it, we may not feel it because of circumstances, but what the Bible tells us is that we are the answer for the world. We are the answer, the church. As individuals, we are an answer in our place of work, family, whatever. But you know, God is calling the church. It's we. We together can do more than we can singly. And it is we together, the church, that God is raising up and giving the trumpet sound again, because this nation needs the church. Would you agree? Yes. And there's a call on the church to rise up again. About a year ago, somebody asked me in one of the churches to speak on Isaac reopened the wells. And yesterday morning when I was doing the seminar, I felt God bring that back to me and say, actually, the wells are being opened up in Farnham, in this place, in GU 35, I'll get it right. The wells are being opened. The church is the well of this nation. And for a while, you know, it says in Genesis 26:18-22, that the Philistines came, Abram dug the wells, and there was good water in it. Then the Philistines came, and they clogged the wells up, they blocked it. And when Isaac came along, he removed the blockages from the wells. Some of the wells he couldn't drink from, because there were a bit of argument over who owned the well. But then he came to a well that belonged to them. And the water began to flow. And I really believe this is a time that the wells, the church, is being unblocked again. And the way it gets blocked is, you know, with the church, the Philistines can't come and block us. Like with Isaac's wells, the Philistines came and they threw their rubbish down and blocked it. But when you're born again and Jesus lives in us, we actually have the power to say no to the Philistines. But what happens is we get used to culture and how things are. We get a bit nervous, a bit scared. And when somebody says over and over, well, the church is irrelevant, we don't need the church anymore, it's, you know, nobody out there wants the church, something happens in us which, when we start shrinking, you agree with me? It's like we can't be who we're supposed to be because nobody likes us. And somehow something gets into our heads, a way of thinking that becomes like that Philistine power, trapping us in our thinking and making us feel small and in the corner, and we are the tiniest portion of this nation, so what can we do? And so we shrink away, and we have a joyful time when we get together like this. And we look forward to it. But when we go out, something happens to us. And it's as if we shrink inside. And you know, it's a choice that we make. I really feel God has spoken to me that this is the year of choices. Of what are we going to believe? You know, Joshua said to his people, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I feel God is unblocking these wells and saying, come on, church, get the thinking sorted now again. We are the hope of the nation. There's no moaning about, look what's happening in the nation. Look at the laws coming in. Look at this, look at that. It's no good moaning when we are the answer. Does it make sense? It is for us to take our inheritance back and to actually stand tall and be the answer, the salt and the light to the world. So when I came before, I spoke about the lion and the lamb. And we've been a nation where the lamb has been pretty good. We are gentle people, and we must be. We are gentle to people. We are full of grace, full of mercy, and that is right. But when we deal with the enemy, and I don't mean people, I mean Satan, the demonic powers who are actually in the heavenly realm, we turn and we roar. It's not against people. not against any other faith, anything else. It is principalities and powers that God has given us authority over. We don't have authority over people. None of us have authority over people in that kind of way. It's only against the enemy. And it's now I feel that you guys, you've broken through something. And your wells have been unblocked. Isn't that happy? And it's not about how you feel. It's not about how the year is or what you go home to or whatever. It is, in general, the wells have been unblocked. And now it's the call of, now how do we go further? Because the title that Sean gave me was Power and Purpose. So we go forward in power, but, you know, how do I plug into this power? And there may be people here who think, what is she on about? I've never heard anything like this before. Because you haven't plugged into the power of Jesus. You don't know that you are a follower of Jesus. And maybe today is the day for you to come and have someone chat to you and let the gate be opened. And then you become a disciple. It's not a magic prayer that we say and now we are just instantly changed and we are very glorious. It's discipleship. It's walking the walk. And talking the talk. And we get changed day by day. And it's quite amazing. Not easy. Not easy at all. But extremely glorious. But with the power, I said yesterday at the seminar, you know, with the internet available, yeah, I've got the iPad. And if I don't close Facebook down, even if I've got a preach on it, Facebook pops up, and so it's very distracting. And we can read lots of blogs, Christian blogs, and we read blogs and we read books and so on. It's all good, but somehow we have to read the Bible, really read the Bible, get back to this book. And if it's on your phone, don't get distracted. I'll first look at Facebook. I'll first read Twitter. I'll first, you know, I've been there. Because I have the same temptations as anybody else. And it's like, oh, I just want to. Then I will. But to actually get hold of God's word, because the power comes from God's word. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and his word. And it's to read the word as instruction to us in life. That's why I say to people, read Proverbs. It really tells you how to change and live. It's quite a scary book. And then the Sermon on the Mount, oh my word. It looks all simple. You try and live like that. Somebody asks for your coat. Give him your cloak. Give him your coat as well, or vice versa. I don't want to give anything. Do you know? And it's quite a something to have to live like somebody smacks you on the one cheek, offer the other. What is that? You know, that's not normal. So in normal life, that's crazy. But the Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us wisdom in how to actually live like that. And then we become a model to the world of something else, something different. And so it's the power comes from Christ in us. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit, because actually it's all about him. I sat there this morning saying to God, if you don't come, I'm going to be waffling on with empty words, and there's nothing worse. You've got to come. You must come. I'm so dependent on him. And so when I say I fear him. It's not, ooh, I fear him. But I don't want to get out of line with him. I want to bring what he is saying, not, you know, gabble on my own kind of things. And so it's quite a responsibility. So I need him. And you know what? We need him. For that fresh water to flow out of those wells, we need him. You know, you leave me 3 days without reading the Bible, and my wells aren't very pretty anymore. Am I speaking to the right people? Somehow, the things that I've been changed in, they crouch at the door and I watch them, wanting to come back. And the frowns are more there, and the coldness steps in, and I'm still born again, filled with the glory of God, but somehow I'm missing something. My plug is not plugged in properly. And as I get back, I say, oh, here we go, Father. And I normally start with Psalms again then. And the plug is in. I think, oh, it's as quick as that. As quick as that to get plugged into God. It's as easy as that. He says, call on me and I will come and answer you immediately. There's no begging and pleading and so on. He's just there. He's just there. And then the purpose. I'll read again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Sometimes we point fingers at the world and we say, look at those nasty people. Look at the laws. Look at the this. Look at the that. It's normal. That's how it is. That's how it will be, because it's the world. But Jesus wasn't sent into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that is so amazing, that we are the people of grace who actually flow into the world to model a new way. So when fear comes in on people, we don't talk with the same mouth, the same tongue that they are. Yes, I know, isn't it scary? Look what's happening all over. Look at it is. Now I know this is happening, and the reality is that it is scary, but I have a hope and I have a trust. And I really feel God wants to, because your wells have been unblocked, you in your time of jubilee, there's a something. Do you know, yesterday morning was so cold. And we got to the hall about 9:30. It was frozen. About 9:40, we started worshiping. I think we sang one song, and then everybody sang in the spirit. And the tongues flowed, and you think, what is this? This is not normal. We normally like a few, 3 or 4 songs to warm up, and then we are kind of filled with the spirit, and then we, but this was after one short song, and people were already flowing in the spirit. And the way you responded to having no words and so on this morning is quite amazing, and you need to hear that there's something going on here that is bigger than what you think it is. And it's the church triumphant. It's the church flowing again in who she is. It's God riding before, saying, come on, church. Let's go and be different. Because you see, if you are a child of God here this morning, Jesus bought you at a price. We're a whole bunch of sinners saved by grace, really. And it's not about how good we are. And I've worked for 20 years with the poor. Doesn't make me, if I wasn't born again, it wouldn't have made me closer to God because I've worked with the poor. It's all about him. It's all about me coming to God and saying, I'm so sorry for my sin. Will you forgive me? Lord Jesus, I want to become a disciple of yours. And that is the key to this power, is becoming a disciple of Jesus and doing whatever he asks. And so that means dying daily to what I want. If I had to tell you what I want, you'd be quite surprised. But I have to die daily and put myself on the spot. Sorry. I'm quite a shy person, and I get a microphone. I think, oh, Father, what is going on? This is, I come from the shacks. That's where I blossom and chat to people in the shacks and the sand and so on. And for 10 years, I've got a microphone. You think, this is, what's going on, Lord? And so I have to die daily to actually be available to God, to say, oh, I need you so much because I still don't know what I'm doing. Still don't know what I'm doing. I'm just there for you. And for the church to be the church, we are called to die daily. It's not about what I want. And it's actually not about what you want. Because Jesus bought us. When we came to him, he drew us. And we just submit to him. And then the Bible says it's his blood that covers us. And he bought us. He hung on the cross and he bought a relationship with... Oh, you're a darling. Isn't he a darling? Nice that we can chuckle in between like this. No religion with us. We are family together. But when Jesus died for us, he bought us. And he owns us in the best possible way. Not like a slave trader or whatever. Because he's here for our good. But he bought us. So it's not, oh, well, I'll do my own thing. We can, but somehow we'll miss out. And you think, I'm not growing. I wish I could prophesy more. I wish I could. And he says, draw near to me and just die a little. And then he gives us some scary things to do. Oh, my word. And that could be interpreting a tongue for the first time. You think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But as we come and do it, the glory just comes. And you're just so happy. Wow, I made it. And so I feel there's a call here today for taking the challenge. Let me just look at the time. Taking the challenge. Are we up for the challenge? I see a few nods, you know. And it is, it's scary because he is a big God. And when you plug into him, you know, like, what is he going to ask me to do? But the Bible says he's prepared good works in advance for us to do. And I want to inherit everything that he has prepared for me. Because if he's prepared it, then he's put all the gifting in me and he has equipped me for the job. And so what he's called you to, and we've each got a different call. There's no good ones and bad ones and some get a microphone and maybe they better. It's not. We all on an even level with a call on our lives and each one's path is different, but they all are equal. There's no celebrity with Jesus. He's the only celebrity who we worship. And so whatever God has prepared, it's to get in line with him and follow him and do whatever he asks. And when he asks difficult things and one's got to sweat a bit like, oh, but look at the cost and what about and so on, it's to, you know, he's so full of grace. Sometimes I take... You know, I read somewhere, if God asks you to do something, you must do it immediately, otherwise it's disobedience. And maybe that is true. But you know, sometimes I take 2 weeks before, and in my heart I know I'm going to give in sometime. But am I speaking to the right people? But you know, it's like, yeah, but maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe... You know, maybe I can manipulate him a bit. Lord, I'll go and do that for you. And, you know, but then, isn't it weird? I know deep inside I must obey. I want to. And yet, he gives me the time. He is so full of grace with me. He gives me the 2 weeks. And as I say, well, okay, Lord. And may I say, sometimes my attitude is like, I'll do you the favor. And I'm being very honest. It's not all religious stuff. He loves me so much and he loves you so much that he knows our attitudes and how we are made and he still comes and forgives and gives the grace and accepts us, even our begrudging, okay, you know. And then the power comes and the grace comes and you think, why did I battle? Why did I battle? Because he is so full of grace and love. And I'm excited for you because Something's unblocked. It's not waiting to be unblocked. Your well is unblocked. It's unblocked. And the glory of God is here. And now you just take. You can just reach out and take. Isn't that amazing? And so if there are people here this morning and you've never reached out in the first place, as it was said, to plug into God, to say to Jesus, you know what, I need you. Because I'm not connected to God. I don't even know what the gospel is. But I really need you. Today is the day that you can make that connection with Jesus. But then I want to call people. Are you up for a challenge? And it's risky stuff. But you know, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about the world. It's about the nation that God has put us in. It's about Farnham, GU35. It's about Aldershot. It's about all the places around. You know all the places around. It's about all these places who are longing for the comfort of God. And only we as the church. And it, obviously it's not only, Jubilee that does it. It's all gospel preaching churches in a place. But we've got to play our part. We've got to play our part. Otherwise there's a gap for the Philistine thinking to get and block our wells. We do not, Father, we do not want our wells blocked again. We do not. Father, will you come and break strongholds in our thinking? Any brainwashing that's happened, any cultural way of thinking that's put us in a different way of thinking to what the Bible says, will you come and do that? I want to ask, if you're from another nation, I want you to stand. I'm standing already, you see. If you're from another nation, I want you to stand. Amazing, hey? Look at this. Now, it's a matter of, so why are we here? Because where we come from, we all love our nations, where we come from. It will always be our roots. But in Acts 17:26, it says, before time, God apportioned where we would live. So anybody from a foreign, another nation, has been brought to this nation for such a time as this. Because everybody from a foreign nation has got a job to do here in helping this nation at such a time. You up for it? Have you ever thought of that? That you are here to be blessed by this nation, but also to be a blessing? That when one comes in with different eyes, you see things different to the culture we come into, and we bring an element into a culture that maybe isn't there, or an encouragement, or lifting up. I want you to sit down. Now, those who were born in Britain, I want you to stand. Now, you know, your purpose is exactly the same. Before time, God apportioned that you would be born in this nation. And so every single one of you have a job to do. And it's it's your maybe university school, those kind of working things. But the spiritual side is every single one of you who are followers of Jesus have the anointing on you to change this nation. Because we are people for the nation. We are here for the nation. We are kingdom people. And the kingdom is advancing daily. We have a king. And he's in charge of everything. But in the world, he's put the church to advance the kingdom, to speak good, to encourage, to bring words of healing, to bring deliverance so that the demons flee when they see, here comes the church. In your work, you are the light in the work. Doesn't mean that you must preach the gospel to everybody. Just work godly. Just be an example of good working ethics at school. Just see how your light shines there. Don't get involved in stuff and rude jokes. You know, it's different. We are the right way up kingdom. We are the right way up kingdom, helping people to see things in a different way. You may sit down. Thank you. So that's the purpose. Now I want to ask you, if you are up for, and it's a grace thing, it's not a force, it's not, well, I better go up, otherwise people will see that I don't come up and they'll think I'm not as good as anybody else or whatever. It's not that. It's not like that. But if you think your wells have been unblocked, and you feel that in this church the wells aren't blocked, and you're a bit nervous because it is, you're like, what are you going to do? But he's kind, and he's good. And he's got things for our best at heart. And he will look after the future. He will look after everything for you. I want you to come forward. Because we need an upping of the anointing for the next stage. Is that okay? Elders all right with that? Yeah? So, you can use your feet. And we can try and fit, and we just see what God does, because we really need him. You may. That would be very helpful. Trying to get Greg's attention. Greg? Yeah, thank you. Just come in tight. I want to say to people who haven't come forward, you're not missing out on anything. Because it's not those who come forward, the Holy Spirit's here and he's not there. He's as much everywhere. This is just, I'm African, I quite like a bit of movement. Do you know? A bit of movement. And that's all it is, really. And so, whatever I say or anyone else, just plug into it for yourself, wherever you are sitting, because God is everywhere. And he's full of grace. It's not for some and for others. Because what he has apportioned for all of us, we want to inherit it. Holy Spirit, come. Father, I want to thank you so, so much for this church. I want to thank you for every single person you've put here. Thank you that each one comes in as a gift to the church, so that we can be a gift to the world. You've made us as gifts to the world to be of help, to be a change, to bring light and hope to a people who are sometimes quite scared. And even if they reject us, sometimes it's because they're too scared to get involved, and they still need love. And Lord, we run on love. And I first want to ask, will you come and fill us with love and compassion for our neighbors, for the world, and for ourselves, really. I want to ask that we will be able to love ourselves. Because it's love your neighbors, you love yourself. If you can't love yourself, it's quite difficult to love the neighbor. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us to overflowing. Now, I'm going to, we just quiet for a minute. Well, it'll be less than that, but ask God for something to come to mind. Maybe he'll speak to you. If there's nothing, it's okay. It'll come. But see what he will say to you. Father, will you come with courage? Lord, will you give your people boldness? Lord, it's interesting when Moses died and Joshua took over. Lord, thank you that we read in Joshua 1 that three times Joshua was told, be strong and very courageous. And when I read that, Lord, I thought Joshua's knees must have been knocking. For the word to come through three times. And the third time, even his people said, Joshua, be strong and courageous, because he was so nervous, actually. We see the glory of Joshua, but actually he was a nervous guy. But he put his feet out and he trusted God. And now he's one of God's mighty men, really. And so, Father, I want to ask that each person, as they step out, will you come and meet them in totally new ways? New courage for a new season. Anybody got a word here? Or anybody sitting there has got a word? I feel...
We're all standing here, and love is dropping down from heaven, out of the skies. It's falling like golden raindrops, and it's covering us all because God wants us all to know how much we are loved. Mm-hmm. Open your hearts to this love.
I just wanted to say I've never been to church, and this was my first time, and I came with a really good friend. I think the five times I've been to church, one was my dad's funeral and the others were christenings. And to come here, I felt so much love and so much peace. And it's just unbelievable. And I just wanted to say, I don't even own a Bible. I've never even looked at a Bible. So today is really the first day. And I've sat here and I've had tears in my eyes at how powerful it is. And I've never felt anything like this before in my life. So this is an amazing experience. Thank you.
What's your name?
Laura.
Can we pray with you? Yeah. Yeah, Father God. I wonder if you'll stand here, Laura, so that may people put their hands on you to bless you. Anybody else who wants to come pray for Laura, you're very welcome. Very welcome. Lord, thank you. Lord, you are terrific. That's all I can say. You are wonderful. Father, you give me the word that the wells have been opened, and then you give me a show and tell, really. It is. It's of someone coming to say, this is the church. I don't even own a Bible. I don't know what's going on, but something's happening here. You see, church, this is it. It's all about him. Steve, will you come and pray for Laura?
Father God, we thank you for Laura. We thank you, Lord, that at this time and at this day, you've revealed yourself to her. Lord, that's always been your plan. It's always been your purposes. And Lord, we ask for your blessing upon her. Lord Jesus, we ask that, Lord, you would show more and more of yourself to Laura. Lord, as Claire said to us today, it's not what we know, it's who we know. And Laura, I just want to say to you, it's Jesus that you need to know. Okay? So, Jesus, I thank you that you're here. And I pray now for our blessed friend, Laura. Yes. Come and know her. And may she know you. Amen. Amen.
Father God, I thank you so much for Laura. As Steve's prayed, Lord, you have opened her eyes to your wonder. It's you, it's Jesus that you've seen. It's not any of this, it's Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, God uses people. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for Julia bringing you to us this morning. And I don't know you. I've never met you before. But I just, somewhere in the Bible, there's a book called Joel, and he's one of the prophets from the Old Testament. I think God would say to you today that God, whose son is Jesus, he will take away the years and replace the years that the locusts have eaten. For all that you've been through, for all that's happened, Jesus is the answer. His love is the answer. He has never once taken his eyes off you. Even when you didn't know him, his eyes never left you for a second. And as you put your trust in him, he will take you through and he will repair and replace the years that the locusts have eaten.
You have felt the presence of God here, yeah? Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. And he's alive, because you wouldn't be able to feel his presence if he wasn't alive. He's alive. And it's Julie brought you, but it's God who spoke to Julie to bring you, because God loves you so much, so much. And God just says to you, come to me. And I know you don't understand everything now. No idea. But you, and that's fine. But you know you have felt something. So if you are willing, it's to say to the Father, I want to get to know you. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on, but I would like to get to know you. Is that okay? Lord, okay.
Father, I would like to get to know you more than I know already. This is one day. So,
and if you will say, Lord Jesus, I don't
Lord Jesus,
I don't even know about following you.
I don't even know about following you.
But something has happened.
Something has happened.
And please open the gate.
Please open the gate.
I want to walk through and begin to understand.
I want to walk through and begin to understand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, you know, this is not the magic prayer and it's all hunky-dory. This is the beginning. This is just the gate being opened. Now comes the process. Because we want to make disciples, strong disciples who know God, who know their God, who have been tested by God and come through, because we know our God. Now, because you have felt the power of God and he's alive, I want you to find someone, and not only people around you, but even in the congregation, if you know someone and you want to go, please, let's pray for each other. For more of this, for us to be the light, more of the light, something, because I feel this is God's, this is a prophetic something that God did for you today. So I would plug into it very quickly and say, Lord, I'll have a bit of that. Do you see? Give me my friends, my family, my neighbors, that I can go and just be a light there. And it's about the kindness of God. It's not bashing people with the gospel to be able to come and say, I've led 4 people to the Lord. It becomes hard and ugly. That's religion. It's about winning people with friendship and kindness and doing good to all. The Bible says Jesus went around doing good. He didn't do good works, dead stuff. He just did good. And that's who we are. And we will be nation changers in Jesus' name. So get about. Let's pray for each other and ask, you know, so tell someone what you want prayer for. Just say, well, I've got a bit of doubt, or I'm so scared, but I've came forward, or now pray, courage into me, whatever. Is that okay? Use this presence of God to get more filled up with him. Go for it. Yeah, Elizabeth, you can.
Those who aren't being prayed for, if you've got little kids, you might want to go and get your little kids from the kids' work. The school-age kids, parents, you don't need to go quite over yet. So let's pray for one another whilst we've got the chance. But if the ones with the preschool kids can go and get the kids, bring your kids back in here. It's great to see them, seeing other people being prayed for. Let's not lose this moment. I think God is very much with us. And so let's pray for one another. But kids with parents who've got preschool kids, go and get your kids now. Bring them back in here. Blaise, don't worry. I'll give you an instruction in a little while when you have to go and get your kids. But let's pray for one another.